Hey everyone, for those of you who have been following along at home, of course, you know that there was an issue with recording. So we've switched some stuff around, including making what was the Patreon episode the free episode, and we'll make a free episode the Patreon episode. Van Helsing is going behind the paywall, so if you want to hear us talk about that nightmare, you can. Next, you'll notice that, well, we're not doing a vampire movie this week. You can chalk that up to whatever you want. Incompetence, misorganizing. But we had done Halloween 3, and it was going to come out essentially the first week of November. And I was like, well, look, why not just do it on Halloween, and we'll do one vampire movie next week. So it's literally on Halloween. It's a classic. I'm sure you guys have seen it. It's kind of the ultimate fun bad movie. It's a blast. Anyway, with that in mind, of course, we should be back to our normal schedule in November. We, of course, have Bram Stoker's Dracula, followed by some fun family films before December. We turn it over completely to Harry Potter. So you'll hear some fun episodes there then. And thanks for supporting us. Join the Patreon if you want to hear more from us, comedy riffs, extra episodes, etc. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and hey! Welcome to Myopia Movies. After a month of vampires, we've decided to do a traditional Halloween movie-ish. I'm host Nick Hoffman, and welcome to Myopia Movies, and on panel we have...
Jeremy.
Matthew W. Quinn, and I'm pretty sure it's not 8 days till Halloween.
So, Matt, this was your first time watching this one. What do you think?
The concept... Okay, some backstory here. The first two Halloween movies have Michael Myers as a killer, yep. And they decide to be creative. Let's make it... It's an anthology series where every subsequent Halloween movie is a different story. This one involves, like, Celtic magic and Halloween masks and bits of the Stonehenge and... The concept of the Halloween anthology series is cool, but this is so weird and meh, and that people complain that they brought back Michael Myers.
Right? I mean, that's perfect. Let's get into this. Jeremy.
Yeah, I wonder if I'm going to be the one person who actually defends this movie.
Go no, for it.
Not. Absolutely okay. Not.
I see time is on our sides in this because, you know, everyone here either was... you know, a fetus or not even alive when this came out. So we knew going in that this wasn't a typical Halloween movie. So we were able to judge it on its own merits, which even if we didn't like it, we were still able to look at it more kindly than the people who saw it in 1982 and were probably wondering what the fuck is this?
Well, and again, like this is kind of quintessential John Carpenter at heart, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, the original one is a suburban horror, and, like, if you skip the second one, which is, like, purely a cash grab, which I like the second one, mm-hmm. but, like, that's what it is.
Yeah.
The idea is, like, how do we play around with the idea of Halloween horror? And that's what this kind of is. It's just weird that it involves an alcoholic John Saxon. Right?
Yeah.
This guy's name is like Tom Atkins or something. I could swear it was Vic Morrow because Vic Morrow was around that age. Looked a lot like that in the early 80s, but it's not Vic Morrow.
Well, and that's what it is. It's like a film noir with an alcoholic. Well, they're all alcoholics in film noir, but like he's a surgeon, doctor guy in a small hospital, which isn't Haddonfield, and it's just... Things are happening, and it turns out masks are evil.
And there's Irish Terminators.
Which I guess we decided to do in the age of COVID because masks are evil.
We had a conversation saying the anti-maskers saw this movie and took it very seriously.
Speaking of, Matt, you want to give us a plot synopsis?
Well, on Halloween, Anthony Fauci will show up on the screen and start singing a ditty, and everyone who wears a mask will face will melt off. Oh, sorry. We're not an Alex Jones right now.
I was going to say.
Okay, so the movie starts out with this old man being chased through the night by someone driving a car into a junkyard, and he gets attacked by this silent dude who he manages to kill, but it turns out there's another silent dude who tracks him down to a hospital and kills him there.
Right.
And the doctor at the hospital is an alcoholic who's divorced. He chases down the second silent Irish Terminator who blows himself up in the parking lot. And then the dead man's daughter shows up, and it's kind of like a whodunit. You know, why did Dad die? And it's connected to the Silver Shamrock Novelty Company, which has taken over this small town in California. They're making masks. And it gets into like Irish mythology and a missing piece of the Stonehenge. And it's just convoluted and very slow moving. Points for creativity, but convoluted and very slow moving.
And what becomes like this, like, This American Life, like, it keeps cutting back. It's like, so this next week on This American Life, Stonehenge, why is it missing? And you have, like, local news piece where it's just like, you know, Stonehenge has been around forever. There's 19 pieces. Well, now there's 18. Who knows? Question mark. It's like some 1966 Batman Frank Gorshin piece where it's like, we're going to steal the pieces of Stonehenge from history. And you just have people in like trench coats looking around like, who knows? But we, like, the whole like pivot point is Silver Shamrock. Again, question mark. I love this movie. But, like, fitting the pieces together is like watching Zucker, Abram Zucker, and trying to find a plot.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, I like that it's more of a mystery suspense than a flat-out thriller.
Right.
But, damn, a lot of it doesn't make sense. But no. That's kind of the fun of it. It's just so ridiculous at times.
Well, and the horror elements are all, like, I mean, he's gone now because he's a figment of our imaginations, but, like, Zeus came in for a minute and was like, is this Blade Runner soundtrack? Because, like, there's a bunch of, like, an old man running. Like, again, my reference was Logan's Run, but, like, he's running away screaming it's Soylent Green is people, and you just hear, like, wah, 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 wah.
Yeah, the soundtrack sounds like either Blade Runner or the first Terminator, but it's not done by Vangelis.
But it still slaps.
It slaps like, yes, hell, man. Like, this is fresh.
Yeah.
And at one point, vaguely Irishman X, like, this whole thing is filmed like it's a bad Star Trek episode. Like, Irishman of the Week is, like, diving underneath cars. And then besuited man is just, like, holding him up by his scruff and, like, tearing him to pieces.
Yeah.
I mean, people, Irish Terminators, like, rip people's heads off, pull people's eyes out, and apparently replace somebody at one point.
Oh, dude. 23-year-old Sean Young is killed here.
Well, that begs the question. Like, was she a robot the whole time?
I don't think she actually was, because the Terminators all don't talk, and they're all quiet, and they just kill people, and she's way too chatty.
She's the new addition. She's like a Tamagotchi.
Yeah. And I mean, how else would you explain, you know, meeting someone, having sex with them a day later after your dad dies? I mean,
she's the new release. She's the Genie character.
Well, there is that. Well, yeah, it does raise a question is how quickly they could make a convincing fake Ellie to replace her if they only had a day's warning.
Right. And I mean, again, there's no like cop saying like, well, he has one next of kin and she's some sultry babe. It's almost like a wilting violet, just like, is that my dad? Oh no. which I'll take, because that's kind of the plot of this movie. Anyway, we kind of have to get into his terrible ex-wife. Because, like, she appears in one scene, and otherwise she's just on the phone going, like, bobbity-bobbity-bobbity-bob. And he's like, I'm sorry, there's a doctor's conference where I've got to get this shit wet. And he's just like, bobbity-bobbity-bob.
Yeah, because we can see why he's divorced, because he keeps telling her he's going to do stuff with the kids and doesn't.
I mean, and he's as drunk as a podcaster this whole time. Like, he just shows up and she's like, oh, so you're going to practice medicine as drunk as you are? And he's like, I haven't even said anything. Like, his mustache must, like, just stink of, like, old reruns and Krispy Kreme. Like, I don't know. Like,
again, how she was convincingly able to have sex with him, because she was a robot.
His mustache that gains him the affection of one, you know, pretty 20-something and probably that doctor, too.
Dude, man, like, the sex scene is just, like, the mouthiest mustache everywhere. It's just, like... It's like playing Pac-Man when you're drunk. It's just like, om, 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 om. Because, like, it just crawls across this, like, 23-year-old's body. And she's just like, I'm just lying here all sexy on this twin XL. And, like, half a tit is inside of his mouth within half a second.
And
gom, gom, the things gom, gom, gom.
The things he can do with that mustache, Nick.
Oh, my God. Like a caterpillar crawling across that titty bone. This is all nonsense. I mean, you gotta break this story wide open, Jeremy, but like they pose being husband and wife to go to the factory. And they're like, what, 2.5 decades?
Yeah, I checked and the actors were, like the older actor was literally twice her age at that point.
All right, so one of you, Jeremy, paint the scene as though we're at like a house, like, a vacation movie here. They pull up into this motel.
Yeah, this is weird. So, the guy almost gets run over in the parking lot twice because I don't know. It's
reasons.
Yeah. To merely to introduce the other two main characters, the Kupfer family and Marge Gutman, who for some reason they said, hey, let's introduce these characters by almost running over our protagonist. It's
Marge Gutman.
Yeah.
From Wisconsin here, you know, I'm Marge. We sell the most things on the middle of the canyon here.
Don't you know? We got some evil Halloween masks, don't you know?
Well, and she turns out to, like, be Harriet the Spy in the middle bit of this movie. Because she tries to fix the silver shamrock. Like medallion that falls off one of these shitty masks, which is something.
And gets zapped in the face with 80s laser beam death and starts spewing bugs.
And hey guys, I get it. Because you've asked forever. Zeus came to watch this with us. And God help him, he was like, I don't know, I don't like these Halloween movies. And I'm like, buddy, you can't imagine. Michael Myers doesn't even show up in these. This is like a porn parody of a horror movie? I don't know what to tell you. And he watches the trailer. He's like, all right, I'm coming. I don't need pizza, but I'm coming. But like, this is where the movie comes together. Because like, we've had the Tron opening or whatever. And now, like, the drunk guy is trying to figure it out. And he's, as the like... He's like the on-duty doctor. He's mustachioed. He tries to buy kids real Halloween masks. And his ex-wife is like, hey, you drunk prick. I already bought the masks. This is worthless. You were supposed to be hours ago. And stop pretending like your pager's going off. Like, the funny thing is, the masks he buys would have saved their lives. So he's the drunk hero. And so you have to imagine that, like, at one point, John Carpenter bought the Tickle Me Michael Jackson when the Tickle Me Elmo came out. And he felt like, yes, but what if that was the actual winner? Like, I don't know how to put this. But, like, the whole thing is, like, the washed-up dad should have been the winner, and he's not. And then his kids die, and so he hooks up with someone half his age.
Well, I think he hooked up with someone half his age even before the kids likely died, so he didn't even have that excuse.
But the masks, man. Although I do like the idea that wherever they are in this world, which is probably like San Jose, like it's like middle of nowhere, California.
Yeah.
He's still a loser for going to a bodega. And getting some, like, knockoff. Although the knockoffs would have saved their lives.
Yep.
It's almost an anti-capitalist message in the middle of this nonsense, but, you know, who could be bothered?
I don't see how it's anti-capitalist. It's anti-evil druid tries to take revenge on society for commercializing Halloween by creating murder masks that will burn out children's heads and spew spiders and snakes everywhere.
This is what, late 80s?
82.
82. Yep. So they went to go buy He-Man's masks and they got, like, It-Man? It-Man? I mean, it's 82, so there's nothing other than, I guess, giant jack-o'-lanterns masks.
Yeah.
I mean, if you said this... I mean, but that's why you need someone to do, remake this. If you made it in the 90s, it was like, Power Rangers masks are evil? Because I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it. I was there.
Yeah. Remake it today, and instead of trying to stop the broadcast of the TV signal, they'll make them kids' masks melt their heads and turn the spiders loose, and they're trying to stop him from auto-posting on Twitter. The tweet that goes like viral across the world and kills like millions of children.
No, dude. You have someone remaking, like ripping off the Simpsons like Halloween special, and it's actually almost good. But it's evil because it's almost good. Quinn, take us away. Like, catch up the plot.
All right. So, again, after the old man is killed by the Irish Terminator in the hospital, and then the Irish Terminator blows himself up in the parking lot,
yeah.
The guy's daughter, the dead man's daughter shows up, and she and Dr. Drunko decide to investigate her father's death. And so they travel to this small town where the evil Irish corporation has taken over the town and brought in a bunch of outside workers to make masks.
Yeah.
And there's like the town drunk is aware that something fishy is going on. He's going to blow up the factory only a couple Irish Terminators kill him.
Right.
And then meanwhile, Dr. Drunko and Ellie, the dead guy's daughter, get busy for some reason. A week after her dad's dead with a dude who's her dad's age, there's issues here.
I mean, those are the best kind of women to have sex with.
Okay.
No, so we get to this town and we get introduced to like every Midwestern stereotype who is trying to... It's funny because like the second act of this is almost like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, but like Midwestern nonsense. Like that Tim Burton movie is weird and like terrible, but that's what this is kind of, but with like... This has more charisma, that one has more style, but like that's what this is like, zoinks, we're going to the factory to try to get more question mark. Because the one dude who's like, I keep wanting to say Marge because it reminds me of Fergal, but like Marge's husband here is trying to get the most sales because he's the top seller in all of North America and he's trying to get a deal. Or question mark.
He's the top seller of the mass United States and she was trying to get an order because her store didn't get any.
Yeah, but it's the week before Halloween, man. You gotta be like, and you'll be in a mask of pure terror.
Disintegration.
Yeah, there you go. Because like that's what this is, like a week before Halloween, because it's, I think by the time they show up, it's not even a week, it's like day four. Four more days to Halloween, 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 four more days to Halloween, Silver Shamrock.
Yeah, they get detained by the Irish Terminators like the night before Halloween, and he's got them, I guess, locked up during the day for his evil plan to unfold.
And specifically for Jeremy, I don't know why, but I'm like inhabiting REM because this is Michael Stipe that I'm doing when I'm dancing.
Instead of the Love Shack, it's the Love CD Hotel.
That's the B-52s, old man.
Okay, Athens band, close enough.
Yeah, I mean, A, you're not wrong, and B, Love Shack.
Love Shack, baby, yeah.
Pumpkin mask, baby pumpkin mask, spiders coming out of your face. But we're about to get there. So Deb from the Midwest dies because one of the silver shamrock medallions falls off the back of the mask. And there she is with a hairpin, a screwdriver, and a dream trying to fix it. Because she knows some weird circuitry and it zaps the hell out of her face. While our hero, John Saxton, is reaming someone half his age. Like, for the third time that week.
And she asks, what happens? And he's like, don't worry about it. And keeps going.
Don't worry about it, baby. As he throws a diaphragm out the window. Yeah. They introduce each other as husband and wife. And the clerk raises an eyebrow for half a second. Buddy's cool with it because, you know, I guess Reagan's America. I don't have an answer here. But they decide to tour Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory the next day, following on the footsteps of Deb and Hairjob, looking for something. And the Irish guy who runs the factory goes, this man has sold more this year than anyone else. And everyone clapsy, clapsy, clapsy. And then we enter the factory.
Right. Yeah, and in the factory, he takes him through the process. Everything seems normal. But then he talks about there's the final application. The father asks if he can see that. And the owner's like, no, you can't go in there.
It's product volatile chemicals.
Yeah.
And I mean, and again, it's out of, this feels very much like the horror version of Willy Wonka, because there's just like a sign that says, final process. And you're just like, well, that's where, I don't know, the Oompa Loompas go to die. Like, I don't know what this feels like, but
they're rendered down to make more masks.
It's Monsanto or something. It's like Oompa Loompa gobbledee, like taquitos. Like, I don't know. It feels rough and unfinished, and that's what makes this movie lovable. I love the fact that no one figured anything out until the end, because like the hero is like a rocks guest, like clankety clankety, like when he's like, I need something to drink, like he just comes with a brown bag full of liquor and he's nailing someone who's not only whose dad just died, but she brought with her a teddy in her suitcase.
Yeah, she took one look at that guy and is like, damn it, this guy's gonna fuck me, I know it is.
And she doesn't even bother, like...
Yeah, she's naked and wraps herself in a towel. I thought that was a big surprise, and it turns out she's wearing underwear.
No, it's not that she just wraps herself in a towel. She then wraps herself in a comforter, and she's wearing lingerie underneath it. It's as though it's like a Penn and Teller magic trick, but Teller decided to speak, and he's like, oh my. But don't worry, she turns out to be a shitty robot. She's not an IKEA, like, no, she's not, like, a Roomba. She's, like, an Ecobot. Like, you get her with a Kroger Plus card for 20% off. And then she explodes.
We'll get to that, but we haven't gotten to the reveal of the evil plan yet.
Oh, please, Matt, give us the evil plan.
Well, Ellie gets kidnapped by some of the Irish Terminators, and Dr. Drunko manages to follow her back to the factory where he's attacked by another Irish Terminator and beats him to death, and he's full of orange goo and circuitry. Then two more Irish Terminators show up, and Conal Cormac, or whatever his name is, the CEO, captures him and then takes him to the underground lair where the missing Stonehenge stone is, and makes this big spiel about the commercialization of Halloween and how he's going to try and bring back the old ways of the mass child sacrifice because the planets aren't in alignment.
And we talked about this before, but I love subtly in the back of my brain, like, Stonehenge is missing. It's me, Stone Phillips. I would like to say that I am heartbroken. Of the 19 stones, 18 remain, but one is missing. I have interviewed the Loch Ness Monster to get her opinions. Just, we have this, like, weird news program midway through at a Quickie Mart who's about to be killed. Like,
they're chipping little bits off the Stonehenge and putting them in the buttons on the masks so that when the signal is broadcast, the mask will kill the children and snakes and poisonous spiders will come out and bite anyone in the vicinity. as part of a human sacrifice.
Which works exactly on the coast that they're on. Because by the time it goes off in, like, somewhere south of San Francisco, even by, like, Ohio time, they've watched the Simpsons Halloween special and they've gone to bed. Like...
Yeah, that's one thing I was wondering. Everyone's saying, oh, at 9 o'clock, watch the TV. And it's like, which time zone? Because the movie makes a point to show different cities across America.
But, I mean, to be fair, our omniscient narrator and primary character is just this old soak who's like, holy shit, they're going to kill. And, like, he's screaming at the camera as his kids are about to die. He's like, dig off the mask! Take him off! No!
Oh, I love this. Although not before he manages to kill off the, you know, the evil Irishman's entire staff by activating the signal prematurely and then dumping all the extra buttons on them and causing a lightning storm that kills everyone.
Dude, this movie has more dead Irishmen than a Star Trek episode from the first season. Like, this is like hard to
And meanwhile, as evil plan disintegrates, the evil old Irishman starts clapping before Stonehenge and the lightning storm fry him.
Dude, it's very much like a well played, sir. And then, like, the laser storm. Dude, man, this movie is like a cartoon cut out of a Scooby-Doo episode.
People with people that die, lots of people.
Oh, it's great. I have no answer other than this is the greatest movie of all time.
Wow.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but...
I hate most of the scary movies.
Mm-hmm.
This might be the best of them. Because those scary movies, other than the first one and maybe the third one where Leslie Nielsen shows up, they miss the mark because Abram Zucker Abrams has that tongue-in-cheek nonsense. Mm-hmm. And I love those. I love Naked Gun. I love Airplane. I don't like that when Zucker turned... like Christian Wright, but who could? This movie knows exactly what it is and is funny. I don't think they thought it would be funny, but it's very funny.
It definitely, I would say, had it been given like a higher budget and more time for more polish, it probably would have come off worse because the fact that it's so ridiculous is part of its charm.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it knows what it is, and it doesn't really strive to be more than that.
No. I mean, and the heroes of it, like, it is John Saxon, right?
I think his name is
Tom Atkins. Yeah.
Tom Atkins, sorry. Tom Atkins nails it. Like, I don't know what else you could do, but, like, he's an alcoholic, he's a doctor, and he's not at all interested in solving the mystery. And that's kind of the best part. Like, he comes across and is like, there's this, like, dead dude, and the woman shows up as his daughter, and his daughter's pretty hot. And he's like,
yeah, it's like,
I'm going to stick around.
Anything so I don't have to deal with my bitch of an ex?
Yeah. Who, like, after that first scene, just is like, babity, 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 on the phone. He's like, I'm sorry, I've got to go to a doctor's convention. And and she's just like, she is just yelling at him. Like, it almost would be funnier if we never met her in that first scene.
Yeah. I mean, it's not as if the kids bring that much of an emotional connection to it, because at the end he's, you know, calling television stations to get it taken off. So millions don't die. Why should we give a fuck about the three kids or the two kids?
He had tried, and she. Well, he tried, and then she hung up on him.
Yeah, but
they could be anyone's kids.
Yeah.
I mean, whiskey's a hell of a drug. I mean. But I also love the fact that they open the, like, generic gift bag and their masks. And they're like, don't worry, Mom bought us better masks. And the better masks kill him. And again, it just makes me wonder, you know, mothers are evil. It's kind of his thing. There's no parents around in the early Halloween movies.
No.
I'm just saying. But God, this is a good movie. This is like a wet, like a warm blanket. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, it's, I got to admire that even though this wasn't a successful experiment in terms of, you know, spinning off the Halloween series into a different story each year, but it is so different from the Michael Myers ones that you got to admire it. I mean, it's so many horror movies are just derivative of each other. And if this had been, you know, not had the Halloween 3 part of its title, I mean, the only thing tying it to the original would have been the score, pretty much.
Well, and I told Zeus, who watched this with us, the problem is Halloween 2.
Yeah.
Because Halloween 1 is a masterpiece. No one would change a moment of it. But the problem is Halloween 2 was like, bring us back. Yeah. Tell us the next story. If there wasn't that, you could do this shit. Because like, this is almost like Creepshow or something. Or like Tales of the Crypt.
Yeah.
Where you just tell a story based on Halloween every year. Which is fine. Do something like that. And like the 2018 Halloween movie, they were wearing silver shamrock masks. Like, I like the idea that this world is connected because Halloween is supposed to be spook-em-ups. That's why Scream is good. Because it doesn't matter that it happens any other time. And yet, there's something scary about the fact that it's masked and it's creepy and it's well-timed. What do you think, Matt? Give us some final thoughts.
I like the idea of making a different Halloween movie each year. And if they had, as Jeremy pointed out, if they had done this for Halloween 2 instead of Halloween 3, that might have worked. But this is just convoluted. It's not very entertaining. It's kind of slow moving. It's a good concept. They executed so badly, they ended up abandoning it, which is sad.
Jeremy?
Wow. I would say go in knowing that it has nothing to do with Michael Myers. Just watch it as a standalone movie. It's fun. It's goofy. It's not trying to reinvent the wheel. It's just a fun movie to watch. Yeah.
I am 100% with Jeremy. I love this movie. I think it's silly, stupid, fun. In fact, I would say it'd almost be better with a different title.
Yeah.
Because of what Matt said. Like, unfortunately and fortunately, Michael Myers takes over the Halloween franchise because he's a perfect character. He's a masterpiece. And the first two movies, especially, like, the first one is one of the greatest horror movies ever made. The second movie is not that, but it's a good sequel.
Mm-hmm.
This one is a different altogether thing. Like, it feels like the ultimate Goosebumps movie. It feels like the ultimate Tales from the Crypt movie. And if that's what you want, that's what you should see. It's very silly. Like, you think it's just an alcoholic trying to solve a murder, which is the first act. And then when fucking lizard things come out of kids' eyes, which we haven't really talked about, but that's what happens when the masks hit midnight. That's all you need. This is like body horror, like Cronenberg wanted, but without James Woods. So it's a better movie.
Yeah, the concept is interesting, but it's just not very well done. And it's, you know, very, very complex and meh.
I will disagree with Matt for one reason. I think it's well done in that B-movie format. Like, yeah. This is the kind of thing that, like, if you're holding a Halloween-y party, and I say Halloween-y because, like, you can do this in the bleak December. Like, you just need people around because the movie is silly, stupid fun. Like, even if you're like 16 or, okay, even if you're like a preteen, the horror is not horrifying. It's silly for half a second. Like, the creep comes on, but it's a very little creepy. Like, it's more like a... This is what Scary Movie thought it would be, but never was. That's why I dig it.
Yeah, and I mean, as ridiculous as it is, the whole mystery is involving. I mean, I don't know exactly when. At the beginning, we were all making jokes and stuff, but by the last act, we were all silent. I mean...
It flows.
Yeah.
Because, again, like... It's like a mustache licking a tit at one point. But when the horror scoops up, this movie's pretty tight.
Yeah.
Like, it knows what it's doing. The idea that this alcoholic, like, surgeon for a hospital is trying to save his kid's life and people don't believe his insanity. Like, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Too many moving parts. Maybe if they weren't Irish Terminators, they were just druid cultists who all report to Connell, then it would be less complicated.
I say if you're going to go weird, go full weird.
Yeah, I'm with Jeremy here, yeah. But I will say, Matt, to your point, is it too big budget or too little budget? That's my question.
Can't answer that question. I don't think it has to do with money. I think it's just the evil conspiracy has too many moving parts.
Well, like, because a million years ago, you gave me this disc about, like, 100 million horror movies that could be better or worse. That's what this feels to me. Like, you either up the budget by 25 or you lower it by 25%, right? To me, and Jeremy, I guess, this is the perfect level.
Yeah, it's part of the charm. The ridiculousness of it. And I think if you had added more money, you would make it too serious. And if you had lessened the budget, it would just be totally amateurish. I think it's a nice balance.
I'm with you. Matt, I think we're ready for final judgments. What do you have for us?
Final judgment. I don't think that's really worth the time.
Jeremy?
Whew. Yeah. See it. Have a blast, and yeah.
And for me, this is the perfect movie to have at your Halloween party. This is one that, like, you almost put on subtly, like your hipster bar. You crack out the drinks, the candy, and the food, and just see who's paying attention where.
Yeah.
Because, like, the whole thing... is smarter than a horror movie and more subtle than an M. Night Shyamalan nonsense. Right? Like, yeah. That's what this whole thing is, because, like, shit is happening in, like, almost like a Dad Afternoon style the whole time. Your antagonist is... like a mask maker, like he's a drunk Willy Wonka. Your protagonist is an alcoholic who doesn't ever deserve to be in a hospital, as his ex-wife says. And like the whole movie plods along based on nonsense. And he's trying to score with someone literally half his age.
Yes. And meanwhile, the villain is a cranky old man who's mad about the commercialization of Halloween. He's basically Druid Von Doom. He's got super science with Terminators and also the sorcery of Stonehenge, but doesn't really do a great job with either.
Yeah, Lloyd Bridges shows up and it's nonsense. And
he doesn't even sound Irish.
No.
I mean, come on, he's supposed to be an evil druid. Why does he not sound Irish?
And yet this cartoon... pulls together a silly, silly watchable movie. It is nothing. After season 10, I'd watch this over The Simpsons any day for their Halloween special. Right?
Yeah.
So with that, welcome to November. Like, I don't know what to tell you. November movies for the main feed are going to be lighthearted, different, and end with a John Candy movie. But in the meantime, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us as we do another Myopia movie. So subscribe to the Patreon. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter. I almost said Filmstock. I'm not on Filmstock.
Shutterbox? Letterbox?
Letterbox. Thank you. And thanks.
Myopia Movies is a product of Dude Letter Podcasting and is hosted by Nick Hoffman. It is edited by Daniel Sedis, mixed and engineered by Nick Hoffman, produced by Nick Hoffman, Matthew Quinn, and Daniel Sedis, and our panelist is Jeremy Reigel. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod and is used under the Creative Commons 4 license. Find it at incomptech.com. Please follow us on Facebook, at Twitter at Myopia Podcast, on Letterboxd, and rate and review us wherever you find us. Thanks.